Welcome to Promised Land at Home podcast, where we bring people into an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ and each other. Wherever life has you, we pray that today's sermon both challenges and encourages you. We're so glad you're listening today and hope you enjoy the message.
I have a thought that I want to share with you tonight, and it is that thing that you need, something that you've been feeling that you wanted, something that you felt like you're longing for, is not in the realm that we're sitting in, the earthly realm. That there is a spiritual realm that we all need to get in. You're born in this world, and we all see your body. Everybody can see your body. Very obvious, we all have a body. But you also have a soul and a spirit that we cannot see. And the spirit person inside of you is below your consciousness, which is kind of what we see above the surface, your thoughts that you're thinking right now. And then the subconscious is below that, which is things you're not really thinking about, but they're there. Your spirit person is below that, or inside of that. And the Holy Spirit of God has been poured out in the book of Acts, the second chapter. The Holy Spirit, that's God's Spirit, has been poured out upon all flesh, the Bible says. Everybody can have access to that Holy Spirit. But the problem is most of us don't ever tap into the Holy Spirit of God because we're too busy working. We're too busy talking. We're too busy on social media. We're too busy toiling over the minutiae of our life, right? And we don't ever get into that other realm because we may not even know it's there. We may not be intentional about it. We may need help. And so I'm glad you're here because I want to help you. I want to help you get into a spirit worship that is really going to, I believe, connect you to God in a way that you have not yet been connected. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You can give me an amen every once in a while. Y'all have tapped into the Holy Spirit. Come on. I'm going to use a word tonight, worship, and the word worship has a lot of meaning to it, but when I use the word worship tonight, I'm going to be talking about worship in the context of singing, dancing, chanting, praying, crying out to God, okay? Those literal actions that we have. We can worship God in our work. We can worship God in our play, our recreation, our rest, our Sabbath. But tonight, I'm going to be talking about the thing that we talk about, worship, like what we've been doing the last 30 minutes. Singing, clapping, dancing, playing instruments, all these kind of things that we do in order to connect with God. So worship, the first thing I want to just, help you understand is that worship is a ladder. Everybody say ladder. In the Old Testament, there's a beautiful story about Jacob. He's dreaming and he sees a ladder between earth and heaven, and the angels are descending and ascending on this ladder. And I want to help you understand that that ladder is worship, that we are able to ascend into another dimension. And when I say ascend, it's not literally going up, our physical bodies or our spirit going up. It is ascending into a different realm. One of my favorite theologians is a man named N.T. Wright, and he says it like this, like heaven, there's this invisible curtain that we don't see, and it's just on the other side of it. And C.S. Lewis wrote about this in the Chronicles of Narnia when the kids go into the closet and then they go into Narnia. This is a spiritual world that is present with us. In the Garden of Eden, before sin came into the planet, there was no curtain. There was no division between heaven and earth. Heaven and earth were together in complete union. And when we get to, the full resolution and redemption of the world someday, that reunited status of heaven and earth will be together yet again. Can't wait for that. Come on. But in the meantime, we live in two different spheres. We mostly live in earth in the natural realm. But there is a very real spiritual realm out there. And, you know, obviously the world, the secular world, loves to talk about the evil types of spirit. And Halloween is like the big holiday that everybody likes to talk about that. There's movies, there's, you know, billions and billions of dollars that are made and profited when people sell fear and horror movies and all those kind of things that deal with this other realm. When we see those things, it's difficult sometimes to discern what is actually real, what is made up, and what is God's original plan for this, for all of this together. So I really want to open your eyes to the idea, and I love being out in the open sky right now, to be in this presence of God. And so worship is a ladder. I want you to think about it, and maybe this context. So music is something that has been created by God. Music is not a creation of human beings. Music is something that was created by God, and He created our bodies with the ability to connect with music and beats and rhythms and harmonies. So we sing to music, we play instruments to music, we dance to music, we clap to music, sometimes we'll wave a flag to music or whatever we might do. But we engage with this form of art that God created. And so, again, in the secular world, you see it as well. You see Native Americans gathering around a drum, beating a drum for hours, and they're chanting, and they are in a form of worship, honestly, to their God and their beings that they worship. And of course, I'm not endorsing that, but I am saying that there's something legitimate about the human body when it gets connected to rhythm. On the square, tomorrow night at Nephew's, there's going to be college students worshiping. Not Jesus, but they're going to be entranced in the beat, in the music, in the rhythm, in the tones. I asked Noah, you ready? Play a scale. All right. That is a scale. Those are seven keys that he just played. I want you to think about that. And then there's half steps in there. So there's 12 keys in a scale. And think about all the music that's created within those 12 keys, right? Isn't that amazing? There's actually, studied this a little bit, that there's actually, that's one scale, that's the most basic, that was C. There's over 4,000 scales on a piano just within the context of those 12 keys. Isn't that phenomenal? God created that in order to help your consciousness and your subconsciousness get out of the way and allow your spirit to connect to the Holy Spirit. So I will say this, you do need to be careful when you engage in music and rhythm and dance. You're opening yourself up to the environment that you're engaged with. Come on, some old people need to give me an amen on that one. That's some old school preaching right there. You're opening yourself up, right? Wobble, baby, wobble. Okay. Think about it like this. Worship is a key. Worship is a key. That music, and the word chant is a very probably difficult word for you to understand. I mean, when you think of chant, you may think of like monks chanting, Buddhist chanting, even in the Catholic tradition, there is rhythmic prayer that's over and over that people engage with. I know many of y'all come from that tradition, right? Yeah. So y'all have done Hail Marys, you've done Our Fathers, and you do that over and over in convents and other places like that. They're using that, and for some of us that aren't a part of that culture, it's hard to understand why you would do that. But there's actually science behind it that shows that when you get in these different forms of worship, whether it be singing, prayer, private prayer, corporate prayer, lifting your voice, shouting before God. In the tradition that I came from, we would, what was called travail. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Crying out before God at the altar for a long time, or in your private prayer closet, getting before the Lord, kneeling before the Lord, praying before God, saying things to him emotionally, out loud, declaring it, praying it, singing it, physically engaging with God. Are y'all with me? Y'all understand what I'm talking about? All of these things that I'm talking about are keys to help get your consciousness out of the way, because your brain is your natural, you know, your natural body. You have a brain that helps you think and logically reason and calculate and, you know, discern things and analyze things, and all that's great. But if your relationship with God is only your brain thinking God is good and I understand the gospel of Jesus and it logically makes sense to me, then you are missing out on a huge part of a relationship that you can have with God. And some of the longings that you have and the things that you're dealing with are you know, I tell this all the time to people that are going to have surgery or going to therapy or whatever. We love doctors. We love medicine. We love counseling. I go to counseling. Love all that. Go. However, there is a connection that you can have with your Heavenly Father through the power of the Holy Spirit that is going to bring you the satisfaction that you're longing for, the fulfillment that you're longing for, the approval that you're longing for, and all these other things that we engage with in the natural world, whether it be drinking things or smoking things or having more relationships, sexual relationships, being entertained, maybe exercising a whole lot. I mean, there's so many different things that get our adrenaline going, dopamine happening, you know, serotonin, all these things that are stimulated in our natural body. There's a lot out there in the world that can give us little hits. Sometimes it's a person. Sometimes it's a relationship. Sometimes it's making money. Sometimes it's spending money, buying things, Amazon, whatever, like buy. That gives you this feeling of satisfaction for a void that you have. I'm here to tell you today that the Holy Spirit wants to fill every void in your life so that you can enjoy the things of this natural world. I'm not saying that all these things are sinful, but I'm saying if you are longing for something to be fulfilled in your life, and all you do is seek the natural world for that fulfillment, you are missing out on God's intelligent design for you. So I want to read you a couple of scriptures, and it's dark now, so I can't read my Bible, but I'm going to come out here. These are really incredible scriptures in the Old Testament. This is 1 Samuel 10, and this is when Saul had just become king. It says that Samuel was telling Saul to go and join up with some prophets, and says, "When you arrive at Gibeah of God, where the garrison of the Philistines is located, you will meet with a band of prophets coming down from the place of worship." Maybe they were up on a hill like this. and they were worshiping God. They're going to be coming down off the hill. They'll be coming down from the place of worship. They will be playing a harp, a tambourine, a flute, and a lyre, and they will be prophesying. At that time, the Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed into a different person. Isn't that awesome? You'll be changed into a different person because you have engaged with the people of God as they're singing and dancing and worshiping. And then it says after that, verse 7, after these signs take place, do what must be done, for God is with you. So after you feel the presence of the Lord, you become a different person because the Holy Spirit's in your life, then you're going to actually go do things differently than you had done before. All right, if you're in the Bible, flip over to chapter 16. This is about David now. David was a young man, and Saul, who was the king, was having a tough time now, okay? This is fast forward a few chapters. He's having a tough time now, and he needs help from music again. So what happens in verse 15 of chapter 16? Some of Saul's servants said to him, a tormenting spirit from God is troubling you. Let us find a good musician to play the harp. Whenever the tormenting spirit troubles you, he will play soothing music, and you will soon be well again. And then in verse 23, and whenever the tormenting spirit from God troubled Saul, which is a whole nother sermon we're not going to get into, David would play the harp, then Saul would feel better and the tormenting spirit would go away. Just some very practical things in the Bible about worshiping God and the power of music and how it changes us. Then flip over to 2 Kings, the third chapter. This is the prophet Elisha. This is many years after, decades after David. We flipped over to 2 Kings chapter 3. Elisha was a great prophet, and the king of Israel and the king of Judah and the king of Edom were all going to go fight, but they needed the presence of the Lord to be with them. So what did they do? Verse 14, Elijah replied, as surely as the Lord Almighty lives, whom I serve, I wouldn't even bother you with you except for my respect for King Jehoshaphat of Judah. Verse 15, now bring me someone who can play the harp. Y'all have a harp, Nate? You got the harp in your lap there. That's your harp. While the harp was being played, the power of the Lord came upon Elisha, and he said, this is what the Lord says. This dry valley will be filled with pools of water. You will see that neither wind nor rain, says the Lord, this valley will be filled with water. We need to pray. We need to worship for that to happen, don't we? For the valley to be filled with water. Just some scriptures in the Old Testament to give you that. Let's go ahead and go into that song. To give you the context of the power of us engaging in worship. So here's my two points of action for you. When you get in a corporate setting like this, we're all together, whether it's 8:30, 10, 11:30, first Wednesday, small group, whenever you're together with other people, I want you to really lean into worship. The fact that we play and sing music and have that time of worship, the first 25 minutes of a service is not just to fill time up. We don't do that just to listen to some good music. We do that because it activates something inside of us, and it pulls away the curtain that is blocking us from the eternal spiritual presence of the Lord, and prepares our hearts. And it's just a beautiful thing. So I want to encourage you, if you're not familiar with this, singing together, I want you, you know, this coming Sunday and following Sundays, I want you to really like dig into it, okay? Read the lyrics on the screen. If you don't know the words, press in, talk to God in between verses, in between songs. That's what I do when songs are like, you know, in between songs. Lord Jesus, I love you. I invite you into this moment. Lord, if there's anything in my life that's not of you, God, I pray that you would just reveal it to me in this time of worship, God. I want to get all my thoughts out of the way. God, anything from this week that's not of you, Lord, I just lay them down before you. I submit them to you. This is the kind of stuff I talk to God about in the middle of worship while I'm singing. And then I'm singing the lyrics. I'm looking at the lyrics. I'm letting those lyrics come into my heart. And then I, you know, resound with those lyrics. And then, you know, I'll sing the song, but then I'll, lifting up of hands is such a powerful thing to do because it engages your body. And there's something about engaging your physical body in worship that helps get pride out of the way. Because if pride's in the way, there's no way you're connecting to the Holy Spirit. So pride gets out of the way when you're like, man, I don't care what I look like. I'm just going to worship God. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to give Him my best. I'm not going to let anything, you know, distract me. I'm going to just press into what God's got for me tonight, today, whatever the time of day it is, and just go for it. Y'all understand what I'm saying? But I also want to encourage you to press into your private time of devotion. Maybe you can incorporate some music into your private time of devotion, but I want to really encourage you to pray. Sometimes I see people talking about, I got this devotional that I read, and it's some guy or some woman that's written about the Bible, and it's probably good. There's a time for that stuff. But there's a time that you need to put all that stuff away, and you just need to talk to God. And you need to cry out before God. I remember a time years ago when there was a lot of stress happening in the church, and I used to live on a farm, and I remember going outside, and I remember just going up and down the fields of that farm and just screaming and crying out to God, like, I don't know what I'm doing, and I need you, God. And I just, there was something about that physical exertion that just helped open up a portal so that my little lowercase spirit could connect with the uppercase spirit of the Holy Ghost coming into my life. So I want to encourage you to dabble in that, and if you have any questions about what that looks like, what that sounds like, I'd be more than happy to talk to you more about it one-on-one. But there's really no wrong way to do it. Just get in there and talk to God and cry out to God and pray to God.
Thank you for joining us today. Don't forget, we want to connect with you. You can find us on Facebook and YouTube by searching Promised Land San Marcos, on Instagram at PSM Church, or on our website, psmchurch.com. Thanks again for listening to the Promised Land at Home podcast.